It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with a really good story that I just don't care to promote to you people. At 2:30, why does January 22nd matter? The birthdays of two very attractive ladies, amongst other things. In a mere minutes, we're talking NFL playoffs and the Longhorn coaching staff rounding into shape. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Oh, I was wondering what you meant by two, and then I'd skip that name. You're right. The one today, oh my goodness, you're right. Just two absolute beauties.
She's in the plus a certain number category.
Yeah, that age plus, but it's all right because she's just that beautiful. Yes, both brunettes.
Yes.
Both very impressive today on the birthdays. We'll get to that at 2:30. Before we get into some football stuff, once again, let's say rest in peace to the great Hank Aaron. The baseball world lost an absolute monster of the industry. I don't know if you want to go so far as to say Mount Rushmore. I'm not quite sure if Hank's there for everybody.
Yes, he is Mount Rushmore of baseball.
I guess we could have a discussion where he might not be there, but man, he's right there. Top 10, certainly, maybe top 5, and yeah, maybe he is a top 4 of all time.
Do you have a Mount Rushmore of all of baseball?
I mean, for me, the way I was raised, I'd put Hank on it, and I'd put Willie Mays on it, and then probably Babe Ruth, and who else we want to throw in?
I'm gonna have a pitcher, right?
I'm a stat geek, so can I go like Walter Johnson? Can I just make it him
because he's got Cy Young, yeah,
Cy Young since he's got all those records. That might be a place to start. But to me, all around players, my gut tells me Hank and Willie Mays should be in every discussion. Something about those two guys really stand out to me as best all around position players in baseball.
Does Nolan receive consideration?
I mean, he's a big dog, obviously.
He's a beast.
For as far as like Mount Rushmore all baseball, I think even Nolan Ryan might tell you he doesn't know if he's that guy. I mean, he's Nolan Ryan, but think of if you're going to say like badass starting pitchers, we said Cy Young, and then you could go Walter Johnson, and you could, I mean, there's all kinds of names you could mention. Koufax.
It's almost
We didn't say Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson.
That's a name to throw in, you know?
As pitchers, though, it's just interesting that the modern-day options are so few and far between. Like, even considering, like, Nolan Ryan, like a modern-day sort of guy.
Yeah, true.
Greg Maddux is obviously in that category for the modern pitchers.
Yeah, that's true. There's some incredible stuff out there. Hank's numbers are incredible. RBIs, total bases, and extra base hits. He's first all-time still to this day. And as I mentioned earlier, my favorite Hank Aaron stat, he's 12 miles ahead of second place in total bases.
That's so silly.
He's 13 and a half miles ahead of Willie Mays and 15 miles ahead of Barry Bonds. Go 90 feet, 90 feet, then change the feet and go to miles, do all the conversions. 15 miles of bases more than Barry Bonds.
You said Musial's number two. How many miles is he ahead of Stan the Man?
12.3.
So he's nearly a half marathon from the second place guy, too.
Correct. Just to tell you all, and then to be the home run king, Trey, and do all that. That's what it was about him. And Willie Mays was that guy, too. Just a complete baseball player. It's like, what do you need other than throwing a strike? They never really were required to do that. But anything else you need in a baseball game, Hank and Willie could get there for you. Rest in peace to Hank Aaron, 86 years old today. The Braves family and the baseball family obviously feeling that one. America in general feeling that one. Such an incredible story for Hank Aaron. We've talked about that and obviously a lot of football on the board today. The championship games will roll out on Sunday. Your updated information, let me verify what you said earlier. Trey, Patrick Mahomes is letting the world know he is ready. He is out of concussion protocol. Yes?
He is clear.
Dude, that's awesome. We're 2 days out. That's so good to hear.
Yeah, and that's the good news for the Chiefs, and there's some good and bad news on the Bucs and Packers side of things, too.
All right.
Both affecting Tampa Bay more directly. Antonio Brown, that receiving core, just can't seem to get or stay healthy. He is officially out with a knee injury on Sunday. But the other side of the ball is getting a huge boost up front and in the middle because Vita Vea is coming back.
It's going to be wild to see if the progressive defensive gains they've made with White coming back and then Vea coming back, how will it affect the rest of the defense? Can they put enough in Aaron Rodgers' face to, you know, to get something done? Because their defensive backs look so much better with White on the field. They have not looked that good in weeks.
Well, and Vea, too, because you're not having to commit as much to that space that he by himself is eating up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's directly in front of Devin White, too, so it makes Devin White's job even easier.
I was reading through breakdowns of this game, and supposedly the numbers say the Bucs need to play a lot of zone defense in this game. That zone defense has worked pretty well for them, but also at times it works well against Rodgers. And just we'll see if they're going to utilize that. The other thing, Trey, that I thought was interesting enough to mention for Brady, this is a logic thing where we all know what messes with Brady, right? Pressure. Pressure right at him. Giants beat him in the Super Bowl and all that stuff. So the numbers bear that out this year. In 13 wins for the Bucs, Tom Brady's pressure rate is 14%, 1.1 sacks per game, 82 on the QBR. And then when they lose the five losses, the pressure goes up to 27%, 2.2 sacks per game, and his QBR goes to 44.
Wow.
So huge differences there. And the other one is to watch the deep passes. Bruce Arians always takes the deep shots. Trey, balls that travel 20 yards or more downfield. When they win, Brady's 45%, 11 touchdowns, no picks. When they lose, 21%, one touchdown, five picks. That's the stark contrast.
And they looked really good throwing the football down the field, or I guess he looked really good throwing the football down the field in their round one win over the Redskins. It came back to the mean a little bit versus the Saints last week, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. And now you're going to take it. That was 72 degrees and perfect. You're taking it outside. Snow. What kind of wind are you going to have? Brady's dealt with weather before, but this is the older version of Tom Brady. It's a 43-year-old Tom Brady trying to spin stuff down the field. How much really goes 20 yards or more down the field? How stubborn will Bruce Arians be? Because that's how he thinks. Arians thinks, I want Tom Brady to look 20 yards down the field and then come back.
Yeah.
And then progress back. Brady's been doing it the opposite way his whole career, and Arians is trying to change his brain, and we'll see who wins out in maybe a snowstorm in Green Bay.
They may very well be gearing up to run the football a little bit more this week. Leonard Fournette, he wasn't a superstar necessarily running the football last week, but he's been good for them in these playoffs so far. So perhaps they plan on loading him up just a little bit more and not have to worry as much about throwing the football down the field with the really cold weather and the possibility of snow too.
And you mentioned Antonio Brown out with the knee injury. Also, I would just, again, I would be paying attention to sideline reporters when they go to start that game, not only for weather conditions, but me, as a guy who's rooting for the Bucs, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin,
mm-hmm.
I want to know for sure, because both those guys have been shaky in terms of injuries lately. If Mike Evans is not able to go or be anywhere close to 100% Mike Evans, that's huge. Godwin could be big. Cameron Brate has become a target that Tom Brady likes. And also, don't forget, I saw an article breaking things down, and somebody made a bold prediction about Tyler Johnson. Don't forget about that cat. He's a rookie out of Minnesota.
He had a really nice catch last week.
That spinning, wacky, off-the-ground third down convert. I think it was like third and six or eight, I think. And that was the craziest catch of the game. So don't – something like that. Just something there where Tom Brady knows, hey, he'll go make a play for me, maybe in a big moment. That's what Brady's career has been about. Take a guy you didn't think was big time and make him big time. Troy Brown and all these guys throughout the years where you go, oh, wow, was he really throwing to him? Yeah, because the best crew he had, they didn't win it. The best crew was the perfect team crew, and they didn't finish it. He had Randy Moss in that group, and they didn't quite get it done.
Was Aaron Hernandez on that team, or was that before Hernandez?
Ooh.
I think that was a little bit before Hernandez.
Maybe. I can't remember. That's a good question. Good grief. When they had that thing where they were sending Gronk and Hernandez up the field.
That was silly.
It was absolutely dumb. So championship games on Sunday. Cannot wait for that. Super Bowl 55 will be determined. Obviously, you've got three of these four quarterbacks that already have a ring, and you've got Josh Allen trying to join the ring club. All right, Trey, so it's official now for your Texas Longhorns 9 coaches that we've talked about. They are all official. They did a Zoom call earlier with Sarkisian and some of the media guys to just kind of lay it out there. And Sark says, among other things, I'm pumped up about our coaching staff. A lot of work to be done. Now it's time to roll up the sleeves, get to work, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you want to go see full bios, they've got those up now at texassports.com. Everybody's rocking the suits, rocking the orange tie. If you want to see Blake Gideon in the orange tie, they got his picture up. So Jeff Banks, assistant head coach, special teams and tight ends, as expected. Andre Coleman stay in with wide receivers. Bo Davis, yes, he'll be the defensive line coach, second time at Texas. Stan Drayton, offensive run game coordinator, running backs coach, he's staying put. Kyle Flood, yep, offensive coordinator and O-line coach. So Sarkisian brings Banks and Flood from the Alabama staff. Gideon, safeties coach for Blake. Terry Joseph, defensive passing game coordinator and secondaries coach. This is the guy that was at Notre Dame. Pete Kwiatkowski, defensive coordinator and outside linebackers coach. The last of these guys to get that word. Of course, he verified it on Twitter the other day. A.J. Milwee will be the quarterback's coach. We'd heard that from pretty much the very beginning. And then Tori Becton, director of football performance. Slightly different way to say strength and conditioning, but that's essentially who he is. And now, Trey, it's down to inside linebacker coach. It will not be Mike Stoops. That boiled up overnight, but it's not going to happen. Could he be an analyst? Yeah, maybe, but Longhorn fans could probably deal with that. But he won't be the inside linebackers coach because, Trey, if he was, you'd have to live with the idea that Mike Stoops would walk into living rooms and try to convince high school players to play at Texas. That's a weird idea for me.
Yeah, Steve Sarkisian must really value Mike Stoops because this is the second time we've seen him his name floated. It started out as one of the potential candidates for D.C., and that was dead on arrival, and so was his status as a position coach. After it was pushed late last night, by this morning, enough had been made of it that it was no longer a possibility. And now the best shot for Mike Stoops finding his way to Austin is either as a defensive quality control coach or a defensive analyst, or perhaps he can volunteer himself to the Austin Zoo for that empty gorilla cage.
Well, I'll lay something out for you. You tell me if I'm crazy here, because I always say of you and all Texas fans, I think it's a very smart fan base. You know your football. Hard to fool you. And if I was a Texas fan, we just had a story where Texas took a look, apparently. Sarkisian was seriously considering the receivers coach at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I think Texas fans looked at that and thought, okay, you know what? Oklahoma's playing some pretty good ball on the offensive side.
The receivers develop.
I don't think it's about Mike Stoops being kooky. I don't think it's about Mike Stoops being an Oklahoma guy by reputation. No. I think it's the fact, Trey, that over these last few years, he doesn't feel cutting edge anymore. He feels like the game has passed him by. That's what would if he was ever on the cutting edge, he's not there now.
And he hasn't for a long time. I mean, this is akin to, I brought up this analogy earlier. It's looking at the Baldwin brothers and say, hey, let's just go grab a Baldwin brother as a secondary piece for this big budget movie that we're putting together. We're going to go with Stephen Baldwin. But it's not Stephen Baldwin directly after, I don't know, he made The Usual Suspects. So early 2000s for Mike Stoops.
That's a solid Stephen Baldwin right there.
It's not even Mike Stoops necessarily after Stephen Baldwin in Biodome, which would have been Mike Stoops probably a year or two before he was ultimately fired from Oklahoma. This is Stephen Baldwin, the teetotaling Bible thumper of 2021, who probably doesn't have any acting ability left.
Wow, I didn't realize Stephen Baldwin had gotten to that point.
He has.
I did not. By the way, how about Stephen Baldwin in Threesome? You ever seen that one?
Oh, man, I vaguely remember that movie, but I cannot remember enough to say that I've seen it.
I'd stand by that Stephen Baldwin. I like that
really?
Movie.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was around The Usual Suspects.
Probably
Stephen
around
Baldwin.
That time, yeah. And he's great in Usual Suspects.
There's just like Mike Stoops was a head coaching candidate. I mean, he was the head coach at Arizona.
That's true, yeah.
After his first stint at OU.
They ought to write a book about guys that have been the head coach at Arizona. I don't know what you call it. The Tucson crew? I'm not saying that school draws them in, but that's an interesting group. What a weird, eclectic group of dudes. Where that guy's been the coach, and someone's been the coach, and Hoke, is it Hoke? Or not Hoke.
Rich Rod.
Rich Rod was the coach.
There have been some weird ones.
Was John Makovic the coach at Arizona at one point?
Yes, he was.
I mean, just a strange, wonderful, like, you know, hodgepodge of people that have been in Tucson. So it's not going to be Mike Stoops. They've got to figure out inside linebackers coach, and you're still hearing a couple of names. This Tosh Lupoi name won't go away. Still hearing that, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if he would accept a gig here because it seems like he would want a co-DC label in order to make his way here, and perhaps Kwiatkowski would be okay with that based on his previous stop and what happened with Jimmy Lake, but at the same time, I think Sark would be a little bit more realistic about that, not put Kwiatkowski in another awkward position.
Kwiatkowski's a giver that way, though. Sure, Sark, whatever you need.
It's like once you set the precedent that you're going to be okay with that, it does. I mean, we talked about it earlier.
It's
it gets exploited.
That's
we
true.
We are mankind. We exploit things.
Yep, that will happen. That will definitely happen. Also, we talked about a couple other Longhorn items. Basketball against Iowa State has been rescheduled for next Thursday. And, Trey, you were talking about this three-game thing that probably has to happen, but these road games have to be reset, so they're going to try to go to Ames next Thursday. Man, these teams are going to be worn out headed for that Big 12 tournament. I'm hoping everybody keeps their legs under them. It's going to be a weird time here where and Iowa State, again, is in a stretch where they're not playing four in a row.
So you ready for this stretch next week?
Sure.
Tuesday versus Oklahoma.
Okay.
Thursday at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Saturday at Kentucky.
Wow.
And
okay.
And the following Tuesday, you play Baylor.
And that's the home Baylor.
Home Baylor.
Yeah.
The Saturday after that is at Oklahoma State, so you would assume that either the Baylor or TCU game is going to go there. Probably TCU.
Yep.
Because they're playing Baylor earlier in the week.
Dude, that's what it is. I said I was having fun earlier in the week about do something like the old Southwest Conference baseball series. They need to play Baylor. When are they scheduled to play Baylor? On that Monday or Tuesday?
Oh, wait a second. I'm seeing the – hold on a second now.
They should play Baylor twice in
when
one
is
week.
That Iowa State game?
They said it's the 18th.
Oh, February 18th. Okay, I'm sorry. I was saying Iowa State was next week. Okay, so that week is, interestingly enough, at Oklahoma on Tuesday, at Iowa State on Thursday, and then home versus West Virginia on Saturday.
Oh, see, I have to double check that I...
No, it's the 18th. You're right about that, because I'm seeing it on the schedule. I didn't see it earlier in the schedule, but that's the reason why. It's because it's on February 18th, not the end of January.
Oh, see, I read that part wrong then. My bad. I thought it was January 18th. Okay, I'm sorry.
Which would have been 4 days ago. So both you and I are just not operating.
Oh, you're right. That's not...
any sense of time.
Wow, that makes no sense at all. Yeah, that'd be February 18th. Okay, February 18th. There you go. So look at the schedule because we obviously have no clue what we're talking about. At least I have no clue what I'm talking about for sure. But yeah, it will be so it's going to be Oklahoma, Kentucky in a normal-ish week and then come back for that Baylor game. I still like the idea though, if they wanted to February say 4th, that middle of the week, if you play Baylor on a Tuesday, you go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, couldn't you? If you want to?
Yeah.
Go home to Baylor, go to Waco, and then you'll head to Stillwater because the Waco trip is not a long, you know, and not a massive trip. Wait, one way you could do it. So Texas has at least rescheduled one of those three. Now they've still got to figure out at TCU and at Baylor.
I'd rather probably try and split that up and go Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State that week. And the following week, you play Kansas State on the Tuesday, TCU on the Saturday, sandwich that game in Waco on that Thursday.
There you go. However you need to do it, they will try to get that done. Last game for Texas is on February 27th, and they have stretched a little bit to the Big 12 tournament till March 10th, so they do have some flexibility there. Also, if you're a Texas baseball fan, season starts February 19th with that College Showdown tournament where Texas and a couple other Big 12 schools will show up to face three SEC teams round robin style, get everybody three games there to start the season. And then you've also got the conference schedule that's out there for Texas. It'll start a little later in February. So you can check all that out at TexasSports.com. All right. A lot of stuff on the board today. If you want to throw anything in, it's the Specs text line 337-3776, whether it's about your nine official new football coaches, Texas fans, or anything else. Up next, January 22nd, and why it matters. Those two brunettes we were talking about, couple of former Longhorn football players with birthdays in the next day or so, and I want to hear Trey talk about some hot sauce. This is The Horn. New music on a Friday from Trey. What do you got, man?
This is Royal Blood, Typhoons.
Royal Blood. All right. Also some new Black Crowes, Weezer, and other stuff today. Lots of new music hitting every Friday. Glad it's Fridays and not Tuesdays anymore. Just feels better. Also, before we get into why today matters, just to clarify off of my screw-up, February 18th is when Texas will play Iowa State in Ames. So we now have for sure one Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday week for the Longhorns, as we talked about, at Norman, a Tuesday night, then a Thursday night in Ames. Just that right there is a crazy week. And then, thankfully, a home game with West Virginia to end it out.
So they just fly straight from Norman to Ames that week, correct?
I'm assuming, yeah, you don't. I was just about to say that. You don't come home there, do you?
No.
Yeah, I'm assuming you keep going. But that's going to be a weird week, and let's see if they can get all of those games in. So now you got to figure out at TCU. The at TCU game, did we determine that they're worse than Iowa State overall? That's the one to get rid of if you get rid of one?
Hey, it's a cash brother. Yes, the Iowa State is the worst of those three teams. Iowa State is winless in conference right now. TCU not much better, but they do have a couple of wins in conference.
I believe the cash brother that would have caught a pass from Joe Montana is, oh, there it is. It's Keith Cash. Yeah,
that would have been my guess.
I was going to guess that's Keith. This is an interesting team to show right now for NFL Network, Trey, because to me right now the Bucs feel like these Chiefs.
Mm.
Legendary quarterback on another team. Are they good? Yes. Can they make playoff runs? Yes. But are they going to get to the Super Bowl? The gut tells you no. That's what Tom Brady's trying to overcome this week, because we haven't seen one of these teams really, really go after it and win a title. Kurt Warner's the closest thing I've seen to it, where he goes to a different team and they got a really good thing going and he almost pulled it off.
As much as I like Devin White, he's not quite Derek Thomas.
No. That could be an entire show. Guys who weren't quite Derek Thomas. Man.
And I'll say your edge rusher, your other edge rusher is not quite, who's the guy who had the patch on his nose?
Oh, is that Daryl Talley or?
No, the Chiefs.
Neil Smith.
Neil Smith, yes, thank you.
No, he's not that guy either. Neil Smith was a beast. All right, championship games coming up. Let's get into why January 22nd matters. We got some hot sauce.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Let's get the food snobbery out of the way, Trey. National Hot Sauce Day. Comments?
There are different ways you can go with favorite hot sauces. Like thinking traditional hot sauce at like a Mexican restaurant, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to enjoy the green sauces a bit more. So Fresa's has a really good green sauce.
That'll light you up,
it's
too.
It's their jalapeno salsa, and it will clear out the sinuses. But Taco Deli has the Doña. That's also another one of my favorites. Although their habanero is a really good sauce. But then you have something like the Frank's Red Hot sauce, which is a hot sauce in its own right.
Yeah, I don't like super, super spicy stuff, but in terms of hot sauce or a good salsa, I love that. And I'm with you on the green sauce. Love green sauce at a Mexican place. There's a place in Elgin and a couple other locations, Morelia.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Round Rock location. They have great green sauce. My wife loves that creamy jalapeno at Chewy's. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well,
not really spicy, but man, it's good.
Well, Chewy's, their regular salsa is really good too, because it's just like it's pretty much like a pico. Like the
yes.
Chunks are that big.
And sometimes those chunks will fire you up a little bit.
Sure they will.
They can get after you. So enjoy some good hot sauce today if you like. Also, this just feels very snobby to say, Trey. It's National Blonde Brownie Day. So this is taking vanilla instead of chocolate to make the brownie?
I think it's just that's a blondie, right? A blonde brownie is a blondie.
Is a blondie?
I believe so.
I don't think I've had one. I'm not a brownie guy to start with, so I've never had one.
Chad, it's glorious. It essentially turns the brownie, which is okay, into a cookie. It's cookie in brownie form.
Okay. That does sound like
sold?
I like it.
Yeah,
sure. I'll try that.
Because neither you or I are the biggest brownie people. I'm okay with brownies if I have some vanilla ice cream to balance it out.
That can be good. Vanilla ice cream helps everything out, so I'm with you there. Our two brunettes that we were mentioning, there's one today, one tomorrow, on the slightly older side, but still, Diane Lane is 56 years old today. I believe Diane is still crushing it in Yellowstone with Costner, is that right?
Yes, she is.
This is a big show. People like, do you watch this show?
I have not. I need to, though.
Is it on a service that I have access to? What's it on?
Or
is
it? It's on Peacock now. It used to be on Paramount. Now it's on Peacock.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've made, I don't think we've made the Peacock.
I need to get Peacock because they've made a series out of my all-time favorite book, Brave New World. So I have two good reasons to check that out now.
Diane Lane is absolutely awesome. I tell you what, lesser known Diane Lane. Trey, have you ever seen the early 80s classic, Six Pack?
No.
Kenny Rogers, when Kenny Rogers ruled the world, he was in a movie with a bunch of kids, Erin Gray from Buck Rogers, and she looks incredible. It features a young Diane Lane and a young, and I mean capital A, awesome, Anthony Michael Hall.
Ooh.
And I asked Anthony Michael Hall about it when we interviewed him because I love the movie so much.
Ah.
Anthony Michael Hall is like, he's, you know, even younger than you remember him in the youngest, even younger than like 16 Candles, Anthony Michael Hall.
That's right.
And he gets to swear, and it's so good. He plays a dirty mouth little kid that steals like parts off cars and stuff. It's awesome.
He had a fond memory of that movie, too, when you asked him about it.
He said Kenny Rogers was nice to him and everything. It's a racing movie. But Diane Lane, all the way back to that point, she's so talented, does such great work, and man, has she held up well.
You also need to, if you haven't yet, you're physically attracted, I guess I should say, to Diane Lane. Mm-hmm. You need to check out Unfaithful.
I haven't seen the whole thing. Every time it pops on a movie channel, I thought, I need to watch that thing all the way through, and I never do it.
Believe there's a little bit of Diane Lane nudity in
there. There you go. That's what we're talking about. And for those of you that are in a certain age group, this one's going to hit you just right. Tomorrow is the 47th birthday, could we all be that old, of Tiffany Thiessen. The Amber's gone. But Kelly Kapowski's still there. Happy birthday to Tiffany Thiessen. Trey, that is a smile that could I didn't even like the show, but those girls could stop me for different reasons, and Kelly Kapowski's smile was what stopped me, man. To this day, when I see Tiffany Thiessen smile, it just makes my day better.
Are you 45 now?
I'm 46. Turned 46.
So you're her age.
I'm right there at her age. Yep.
What does that do to you to see Tiffany Amber Thiessen continuing to look like that at your age?
Just, I'm glad somebody can.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody can keep looking like she's looking.
Oh, man. She was such a babe back in the day.
She's beautiful.
Still looks great, too. She's got the cooking thing going on now. I know Kevin has talked about that on his airwaves. Tiffany Amber Thiessen was one of the original crushes, I think, for a lot of us who grew up in that mid to late 1980s into the early 90s.
And another good reason to have Peacock, because the reboot Saved by the Bell is there.
Now, what's going on with this reboot?
From what I understand, it is, okay, it's the closest thing to like a Cobra Kai idea we could have. So they're going to bring everybody back. You're still back at Bayside, new group of kids. And then, as I understand it, Zach Morris is the governor. A.C. Slater might be like a teacher.
Zach Morris as a governor is great. He is so Gavin Newsom.
Right, exactly. And they're going to bring in some like modern political things about school, I don't know, school policies or whatever.
This only works if you get Screech as the hobo who won't leave the kids alone on the street corner.
I don't know if Dustin Diamond's on board. I think they're just about all on board, including what is supposed to be the best story of this is that apparently, what's her name? What's Lisa Turtle's real name? I was about to call her Soleil Moonfry. That's Punky Brewster. Lark Voorhees.
There you go.
Apparently, Lark is now in a really good spot.
She got her ish together.
She's overcome all of her issues, looks really good.
Well, happy to hear that.
And is ready to work. And I think Berkeley's a part of it, unfortunately, with clothes on. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Go back and watch Showgirls if you're that desperate for it, I guess.
Oh, what a cinematic experience. And but I think that's the basic premise of it. They all come back together as teachers or whatever's going on in their lives. Maybe A.C. Slater's the sheriff. Maybe we could get lucky enough to have that, something like, I don't know.
A.C. Slater's the sheriff.
That'd be great.
Hard pass on that one.
By the way, speaking of people who've held up well, we were talking about on the female side, Mario Lopez makes me mad every time I see him.
He's taking good care of himself. Mark Paul Gosling, has he gotten fat?
Mark Paul Gosler, I don't know if he is overweight or not.
Gosler. Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. Every time I see him, I feel like he's in good shape.
Okay.
I don't think he's gone
Remember
crazy.
That urban legend from, gosh, it would have been 15 plus years ago now, that he supposedly attended Texas Tech for a couple of semesters and walked on as a punter at Tech?
I don't remember that.
Man, that was floating around during my freshman and sophomore years in Lubbock. That just a couple years prior to that, Mark Paul Gosselaar was a walk-on punter at Texas Tech.
Wow. Now that's a whole other level.
Partier extraordinaire.
Speaking of special teams, Trey, tomorrow is Phil Dawson's birthday. He is 46. Mm. You and I both have the ability to embrace the special teams in a way maybe nobody else can. This is one of your big dogs at kicker, man. You guys love Phil Dawson, right?
Yeah. I mean, if Justin Tucker weren't here, Phil Dawson might be number one.
Right. I would not ask if he's your one. He can't be your one after Tucker, but still, he's right there.
Credit to him for sticking around to the NFL as long as he did, too, by the way.
Yep.
Long career.
Cleveland, San Francisco, Arizona, kicked for all those teams. He is 46 tomorrow, and it's great. I double-checked with Craig today. I was like, Craig, I know you were there, so tell me. What were your recollections of the 95 kick against Virginia? And he talked about it, and he said, the way we always described it was 50-yard kick into a 20-mile-an-hour wind. And I said, well, you'll be glad to know that after all these years, his Wikipedia page has dialed the wind up to 30 miles an hour.
You get to
cranked it up.
You get to add a mile per hour every 2 to 3 years.
That's awesome. They threw a live yak on the field right as he was connecting with the ball.
That was 2036, it's going to be a 40-mile-per-hour wind.
Trey, it's an amazing kick, no matter how many times I see it. You and I listened to Bill Schoening's call of it today on the radio, with the radio call, and he was awesome, as always. But the thing that we didn't know, I'd forgotten about it. I don't think I ever knew this. Virginia took a 14-13 lead. So would that be right? No, a 16-14 lead with a 56-yard kick going the other way.
Now, he had a 30-mile-per-hour wind at his back.
He did, yes. But still, to hit a 56-yard kick at any point,
that's impressive.
Even if you've got a tornado machine behind you, that's not bad. But then Phil Dawson answers it. They had about a 3-minute drive to get it set up, and then he kicked it at the end.
One of my favorite factoids about Phil Dawson, and no doubt something that would just get brought up into the ground if he was playing football in this era, is that he was an offensive lineman in high school at Lake Highlands. He not only kicked, but he was an offensive lineman for the Wildcats in the Dallas area.
Bill, Phil Dawson was an offensive lineman in high school.
Can I ask you about this national holiday real quick before we hit the break?
Sure.
National Answer Your Cat's Question Day? What the hell is that?
I'm assuming that's not meant in like a speakeasy vernacular. Like, hey, man, answer your cat's question. The trumpet player's got a question.
That
man.
Cat is spelled with a K. This cat is spelled with a C.
Answer my cat's question. I don't really think there's any need to either ask or answer a question if you're celebrating that day. I think we just take you to the doctor.
I think the cat's question, 100% of the time also, is what the hell is your problem?
Yes. Or maybe, why haven't you cleaned the litter box? That might be the only question I could think a cat would be asking you if it's looking at you.
Which is an offshoot of what the hell is your problem.
If it cares enough about, that I don't understand that.
Cats don't care because the less you clean the litter box, the more opportunities they have to go elsewhere with the built-in excuse of, you haven't cleaned my litter box out.
Look at that. That's good. That's good. I've known people like that that'll take that opportunity too. Just keep use that opportunity to go somewhere
else. Look, man, that was my mid-20s. We don't have to keep bringing that up.
All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds. Did you hear the latest school to get a little college football probation? Yeah, don't worry, it's probation. It's not like it's a serious thing. Come on, it's the NCAA, and they're a big name. We'll tell you who they are coming up on The Horn.
Call me a fool.
New music on a Friday. What do you got, Trey?
This is Valerie June and Carla Thomas, and the song is Call Me a Fool.
So, Trey, I do not watch the show, but somebody's saying Diane Lane is not in Yellowstone.
Okay.
No idea. But you know who is? Cole Hauser from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I spoke with him prior to his appearance at the ATX Television Fest back in 2019. Really cool dude. Talked about some fond memories from his time on the set of Dazed and Confused, and then also what's currently going on with Yellowstone. Now, perhaps you are misremembering Diane Lane from Yellowstone, because she was one of the female leads in Brokeback Mountain.
Was she?
Yeah. Her and Michelle Williams.
I thought Anne Hathaway was in
You may be right about that. Boy, I'm just screwing this up altogether.
I've seen Brokeback Mountain all the way through once, and then I've watched bits and pieces of it other times. I think that's Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, you're probably right.
She's the one that's married to Gyllenhaal, I think. And then
yes.
I know it's Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams and Heath Ledger make quite a couple in that movie. That was a brilliant casting. Whoever did that decided they needed to be on screen together. That was a great choice. Everybody did all four of those actors did a really good job.
All right. Well, I screwed that one up too. I'm not
Look
sure what country movie or TV show she was in.
We're both putting Diane Lane in stuff she wasn't in. How about that?
She was in Inside Out. She was in Secretariat.
There it is.
She was in Under the Tuscan Sun.
That's the one. I've seen that a little bit, little parts of that.
Hardball, the Keanu Reeves classic.
Oh, wow. I've never seen Hardball. You know, Diane Lane was Princess Leia. Did you know that? That's not true. All right. She probably was in Star Wars somewhere. I just don't know it. All right. So also, we want to send out our best to Dustin Diamond. I had no idea this was going on. Multiple people are letting us know we sound insensitive when talking about Screech. Apparently, Dustin Diamond, Trey, has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know that.
Sorry about that, guys. Diane Lane. She is in, not to diminish Screech having cancer, but right. She is in Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove. There it is. But see, I've not seen Lonesome Dove, so that can't be what I'm thinking about. I'd love to tell you it is. One of these days I'll see Lonesome Dove and then be a real Texan.
But somebody else in Lonesome Dove?
Whole nother discussion. Tommy Lee Jones is in Lonesome Dove. Duvall is also in Lonesome Dove.
I'm thinking one of the child actors.
Okay, tell me.
Dustin Diamond.
Shut up. Shut up, please. That can't even work, can it?
No.
Come on. The math of that doesn't even work. Thank you for everybody giving us the text on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Sadly, that might be the most text we've received in a short period of time that we're all the same thing. The Screech has cancer text.
I feel like it's a shame that we didn't get a live-action reboot of Scooby-Doo during Dustin Diamond's heyday as an actor, because he would have made a great Shaggy.
Yeah, maybe. I always liked the guy that played Shaggy in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I thought that was a pretty solid Shaggy.
Who was it?
I don't remember his name. I don't know the actor's name. But I thought that was a fairly decent mystery machine crew that they had. He played it well, had the good crack in his voice. He wasn't in it very long, but I thought he was good.
It was the hitchhiking scene?
Yes, exactly.
Let me see this one real quick. Ah, shoot. Come on, YouTube, your stupid ads that lead into videos.
Terrible. All right, let's get him some stems and seeds before we get out of here, Trey. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. When a name this big gets in trouble, usually the NCAA just slaps them with probation, and that's what happened to Notre Dame. It's another year's probation for a team. This has already happened to Florida. It has already happened to A&M for the exact same recruit. His name is Savelle Smalls, and apparently there's been impermissible contact from all those schools. Level 2 and level 3 violations for Notre Dame. Basically, Brian Kelly was in a cafeteria at some point and took a picture he wasn't supposed to take with a recruit because, you know, NCAA and silliness. Notre Dame gets fined $5,000. There's recruiting restrictions. Good grief, Trey. I don't think Brian Kelly has a show cause put on him like Dan Mullen and Jimbo Fisher got, but one of those silly little NCAA stories to add to the pile here, but a year's probation for Notre Dame, whatever the heck that means.
Oh, boy. NCAA just continuing to prove its worthlessness. I can't wait until they go away altogether, until we totally revamp this system in around 2024, 2025, and we don't have to worry about this sorts of nonsense anymore.
I agree with you there. Did you say there's a story you want to get into that you didn't tell anybody about yet? Or
what?
Were you just messing around on that earlier? You said something about a story you were going to get into here. That
oh no, I just didn't have anything written down for Stems and Seeds.
Okay, I was just making
thanks for
sure.
calling me out.
No, I just thought maybe there was some big story that you had to to lay out there.
The big story is Pat Mahomes is officially cleared to play against the Bills on Sunday.
That is cool. Also, this is cool. Super Bowl 55, 22,000 fans, not all in the pirate ship. They'll be in the seats spread out. 7,500 of those people, Trey, will be vaccinated healthcare workers. They're going to give some love to the healthcare workers and let those folks come to the game. So 22,000 at the Super Bowl, trying to feel a little bit normal. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Also, good news if you are local and a hockey fan, like my man Rick Sacamano and so many others. Our man Tom McKay from AV Consultations, he's thrilled about this. The Texas Stars have announced their full schedule.
All right.
Trey, I believe it's 38 regular season games they're going to play. So 19 home, 19 road. First home game for the Texas Stars will come up on February the 12th. So get online, figure it out. If you're a season ticket holder, I'm sure you've already been in touch of how they're going to lay everything out there at the HEB Center in Cedar Park. Glad hockey will be back.
So we don't know how many fans will be allowed, but it will at least be some.
I think there's going to be some allowed, yes.
Tom McKay and probably Rick will be amongst the some.
I'm guessing. I'm going to need to see the list if those two can't show up. Because I don't think I've been to a Texas Stars game. I've probably been to, I don't know, 10, 15, somewhere in that range. Yeah. There's no way I've been to a Texas Stars game where both of those guys were not in attendance. There is no chance. It's impossible.
Nope.
It's a mathematical impossibility. All right. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Championship games coming up. We'll have a Super Bowl 55 to talk about on Monday. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's the Triple Option with RBKD. They will tell you about those 9 coaches becoming official for Steve Sarkisian. Plus, there's a strength and conditioning coach, although they're calling him something a little bit different. They will get into all of it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this great weather today and try to be nice to each other. See ya!